Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Wednesday.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today. And I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, and that's Eric Taylor. And welcome, welcome, welcome. You want to join the ride? Got a fun show for you. Give us a ring, 718-664-9098. Like always, and we appreciate it. Get to maybe a couple emails today. But always hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com and the website rayandtaytoday.com. Got some fun stuff there besides, you know, draft information, NFL schedules. We also have, you know, some stuff about our segments, our new segment that we did last week's up on there, cool photographs, great interviews from all of our past shows. So check it out. And like always, tweet at us, Facebook us at Ray and Tay Today. Ray, let them know what we're talking about, man.
So, we got a good show for you today. We've got a lot going on in the world, but we're going to concentrate on a few sports. So, we're going to talk a little bit about NFL, what's been happening, free agency. There's some moves going on, some issues in Denver, but some player personnel movements. Then we'll talk about Major League Baseball. We've got MLB, we've got the All-Star Weekend coming up. We'll talk about the All-Star starters and the reserves. We'll talk about the final vote. We'll talk about Yasiel Puig, the phenom in L.A. And then we'll end the show with some NBA talk. There's some NBA summer camp that started. NBA free agency continues. You could officially sign people starting at, 12:01 a.m. today. So a lot of stuff going on in the world of the NBA, and we got that All-Star weekend coming up in baseball. So let's get into it.
Man, well, listen. First off, in the NFL, the Giants did what they had to do. Fantasy fans and Giant fans can be happy. They extended, because he already signed his deal for this year for the 2.9. They extended Victor Cruz. It all pans out to be about 6 years, $46 million. Jay-Z, Rock Nation Sports got it done for Victor Cruz, and he's staying with the Giants, and I guess Knicks is next. And, that's a good thing. Giants fans don't have to worry. You got to like that. And, we'll see what happens. And then, you know, the Lions, Ray, talking about these extensions, they extended the quarterback from Georgia with the arm, throws the most passes of the last two seasons combined, Matthew Stafford, to 2017, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, he didn't rob the bank, but I guess his extension goes through for about $53 million. So what do you think about those two?
Well, the Giants needed to do that because even though he's technically a slot receiver, he's as good as it gets, and he is, frankly, Eli Manning's security blanket. Usually your security blanket is a tight end or, you know, a back out of the backfield, but that's his guy, Victor Cruz. And frankly, yeah, with Hakeem Nicks, as injury-prone as he is, both in college and then, not playing that last year in college and having this issue at North Carolina, and then In the pros, he's always nicked up. So you really need Victor Cruz. So
he's become very reliable.
Yeah. He had a little bit of a down year last year. I mean, his year 2 years ago was unbelievable. So I think it was fair, right? It's about the going rate for a guy at his age and his trajectory. And the Giants really needed him. So I thought it was a must do, and they did it. They took care of business, and now they have to worry about Hakeem Nicks. But the Giants were good. I mean, that's if you're I'm not a Giant fan, but if you're a Giant fan, you gotta be happy that you kept Victor Cruz salsaing at home at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Giants, Dan Connor, who they just brought over, the linebacker who just brought over from the Panthers, got arrested, I guess having a crazy big knife in the airport, and you know, dealing with security. So I hope all that works out and, you know, it just clears up and it's not a major issue. But then I thought this was interesting. You know, Kraft spoke to the media and he talked about maybe being duped by Hernandez with the whole, you know, murder charges. But, you know, the Patriots did try to give the fans a little something by, you know, last weekend doing the buyback with the jerseys. Well, fans came out in you know, just the thousands, and they basically ate $250,000. And fans were getting Chandler Jones, Brady jerseys, Wilfork. So, you know, hey, the Patriots are doing what they feel that they have to do.
Yeah, the Patriots have a little bit of a PR mess, and then sort of the Broncos, frankly, right? The Broncos totally different, right? You've got two executives arrested and DUI, and the league comes down pretty hard on players. So now the league has got to decide, what they're going to do with these guys, or they're just going to let the Broncos do it and take care of that discipline. So NFL had a little bit of a black eye this offseason, so I'm sure Roger Goodell's not happy in the league offices.
Yeah, I think it's up to 40 or 41 arrests. Connor might have put it at 40, yeah. And they warn the players, right? They'd say, listen, this is when players are away from their, you know, teams between OTA and training camp. This is the time, you know, and then also just generally the offseason. And wow, the whole offseason, it's been about 40, 41 arrests. And, you know, it's a shame. But, you know, it's so funny. Still, when you compare that to society, the NFL is still better than, you know, just what goes on in regular society. So I think it's just because, you know, it's the NFL gets more attention. And that's no excuse, but, you know, that's sort of where we're at. And, you know, a little controversy just real quick we got to mention, because you got to laugh it off, right? But at the same time, he can't do it. Kaepernick, you know, tweeting out and rocking a Miami's Dolphins hat and then, you know, sort of redid it with the Niners. And people got it all upset. Oh, how are you wearing a Niners Dolphins cap? And he's like, oh, relax. Is this what you're upset about? So, but the thing is, though, Ray, you know, he's a young quarterback and he's got to learn, because the reality is when training camp starts, you know, that's what they're going to ask Jim Harbaugh. What's up with your quarterback wearing a Dolphins hat? So it's taking away from, you know, even if it's 2 minutes talking about or focusing on something that they don't need to focus on. So he'll learn, though.
Yeah, and the big picture, it's not a big deal, but it's definitely bad judgment. I mean, why? What's the point? I mean, the Miami Dolphins are not your team. Your brother doesn't play for that team. You know, it's not even your hometown team. So it's not even like LeBron who wore it'd be like LeBron wearing a Knicks jersey as opposed to wearing a Yankee hat. So if it's a different sport, that's one thing. You know what? You just don't need it. You don't need it. You're in the public spotlight all the time, and you're on TV all the time, and you're on the radio. You just don't need it. And Kaepernick seems to be, you know, he seems to have his head on right. So it was just a bad judgment from a young kid. So let it go. It'll be fine.
Definitely. So as we start to get ready to, you know, talk about baseball and some of the All-Star stuff, I think on the bad news area, it looks like sometime, they didn't say when, but sometime after the All-Star game, with all this PED mess, baseball is looking to suspend 20 to 25 players. It's going to get messy. It's really going to get messy. I don't know. It's something that I think that baseball has got to eventually clean up sometime. But don't you think it's sort of weird relying on Bosch's information or, you know, I don't know, because he seems like a shady guy to me. I don't know if baseball should get in bed with him.
Well, the problem is that in this whole world of performance-enhancing drugs, you're not going to have the characters. You know what I mean?
True. Nah, you're right
you
about
know,
that.
You know, Albert Einstein and like the Nobel Prize winners of the world, they're not
slinging PEDs.
Slinging PEDs, right? So you're going to get in bed with some shady, shady characters, right? Because it's slinging, you know, stuff that maybe if a doctor prescribes it, it could be legal, but chances are you're selling them to people and in quantities that are not legal. So right there, by definition, you have to get your information from criminals. So that's problem number one. And then problem number two that baseball has is that you know, they have a black eye where, for example, Brian Braun stands, they, you know, had the whole issue with the testing and there was an issue with chain of custody. And so Ryan Braun got off on a technicality. So now Major League Baseball wants to do this right. And like you said, 25 guys suspended. Major League Baseball better have all their ducks in order because that's going to be 25
you know, the players union
high-paid lawyers.
Yeah.
And the union are going to fight it. And baseball's already lost a few times. So baseball's trying to get that in order. At the same time, baseball has its all-star game. So this, you know, celebration in New York of all the fans and what's good about baseball. So baseball's really juggling a bunch of different things. And they're going to wait until, you know, probably the maybe next week or maybe the week after next to come down with whatever they're going to come down with. So it's a mess. So baseball's inviting players to talk, but the problem is players don't have any incentive to talk. The only players that have any incentive to talk are maybe minor league players who don't have the protections of the union and don't have the agents and don't have, you know, they have the fear of Bud Selig. But the players' union has that almighty, or the players have the almighty players' union to protect them, and they have the collectively bargained, you know, process. So why would a player come in and talk to baseball? Just his lawyers, you know, their lawyers tell them don't come in, and so they don't. So baseball, back to this whole story, baseball can't get firsthand information because no player wants to talk. So baseball has to go back to the seedy characters.
Plus
that
the
are,
fact you could legally, they could legally, I mean, you know, police and stuff won't go after them, but it's also against the law. So they could always plead the fifth. They're not going to, you know, impede themselves. They're not going to be like, hey, yeah, I did this. Because, you know, it can just open up a whole bunch of can of worms, you know. But, you know, let's talk positive. As you said, the All-Star game is in New York, and looks like Harvey will start it. But you know what I love? The Mets
they just
have got some young
blisters,
pitchers.
So they're pulling him, they're pulling Harvey out of his start on Saturday.
They're gonna, Right. But at the same time, they also want to do that to sort of, you know, get him lined up to start the All-Star game. But not just Harvey. You know what's great for the Mets? And the Mets are winning right now 7-1 over the Dodgers, right, before he was pitching a five-inning one-hitter. And Wheeler, the other young stud, is really looking good. One run, three hits, and the Mets are up 7-1. So with Wheeler and just in all of baseball, right, we've got a lot of nice, really talented young hitters and pitchers. But the Mets have got two of them. It looks like Wheeler and Harvey could be two, you know, future studs. You got to be excited for that if you're a Mets fan, you know.
Yeah, the
every
Mets
5 days
may
they take
up
the ball.
The Mets need so much help. They could use a couple of position players. They could still, their outfield is terrible. They could still use some bats. So I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up trading Wheeler, or I don't think they trade Harvey at this point, especially because he looks like he's Hollywood. I mean, that kid apparently just loves New York and loves being in the spotlight. So he's going to
be
the face of the
franchise
for a while.
They won't touch
they may
Wheeler.
Not, but a lot of people, you know, are looking at this kid, and if they give them an offer they can't refuse, they might need to because the Mets need so much. But you're right, though. What an exciting time. You know, think about it. A year or two ago, these two guys were in Double A, and so everybody said, wow, these are two guys on the horizon, but there was nothing at the major league level to be excited about. You know, Johan Santana was injured, and David Wright couldn't hit for power in the big ballpark, and Jason Bay you brought over, and he wasn't anything special. You still had a few bad contracts you had. So now at least the Mets are thinking, look, we're terrible, but we've got two young pitchers, and, you know, if we can get anything out of Wright at the end of his career, and if Lucas Duda, and if we can get something out of Davis, you know, we've got some young talent.
Plus Buck,
maybe not
I like Buck
great.
As well. The catcher,
oh, the catcher they
nice.
Brought over Buck is great for them. So you know, things are. It's amazing how two players, especially two pitchers, young pitchers in their early 20s, can make you have a different outlook on your team. So
Mets
should be excited, and if he starts the All-Star game, how crazy is that? That'd be fantastic.
New York will be on fire. You know, they'll definitely be on fire. And when you look at the All-Star game, and, you know, I guess let's start with the National League. I mean, obviously, you know, there's the big names like, you know, Carlos Gonzalez with the great catch the other night from the Rockies. And you got Harper, Tulowitzki, and even David Wright, Phillips. I think, you know, obviously you got to be excited to see Molina and Joey Votto. Of course, the pitchers, you know, like Clayton, your boy, that's your boy, Clayton Kershaw.
Kershaw.
Who's your sort of, I mean, whether it's Adam Wainwright, I mean, pitcher, like give me one pitcher and one position player that you're like, I'm going to turn on the All-Star game and, you know, just for the National League to watch. Did you really say, I'm going to watch the All-Star game because of these guys?
So, you know, we it may be the obvious choice, but we said it already. We talked about it. I want to see how Matt Harvey pitches. I want to see how the young rookie in his first, you know, real
All-Star,
major league spotlight, the All-Star game at the New City Field, right? So you're pitching at home and you're going to start the All-Star game? For, what is he, 20 years old, 21 years old? I mean, that's
my house and I live here.
So let's see. Yeah, exactly. So let's see how well he can do with that pressure on him. So that's one. And the position player, you know, there's a lot of guys out there. What's that?
Well, I'm saying, who do you want to see hit some homers?
Who do I want to see hit some homers? You know, it's funny. There's a lot of guys out there who, like you said, are old-timers, veterans that are just getting it done. So, you know, you have Votto and Phillips, Wright, Tulowitzki, that's the infield. And then even the outfield, Beltran and Gonzalez are your veterans. So Bryce Harper is your young stud in the outfield. But the guy I want to see, you know, I have a special place in my heart for Pittsburgh, right? So the guy I want to see is Andrew McCutchen. I want to see how well he does. He's a reserve. He'll probably come in around the fourth or fifth inning. I want to see him do some things. This guy's an all-around player, and if he wasn't in Pittsburgh, he'd be a household name. He'll get some votes.
And probably a starter.
Yeah. He'll get some votes in, you know, I haven't looked at their numbers today, but, yeah, I mean, this guy definitely should be considered. You know, next 10 years, he'll get plenty of consideration for MVP and All-Star and so forth. But I like Andrew McCutchen. He's a real legit five-tool player, and I want to see how well he does under the spotlight. And hopefully they'll get him some good, you know, a good four or five innings.
Well, you know who I'm curious about, though? It's so funny we're talking about that. And obviously, you know, we want to see if the Dodgers star, you know, gets voted in with the fans, Puig. But also, will the fans in New York boo Carlos Beltran, right? You know, he sort of ended poorly here in New York, didn't have a great time here, didn't play as great, you know, really did well in Kansas City and Houston. But now he's sort of back being a starting outfield star for the Cardinals. How are the New York fans, you know, how are they going to, you know, represent him? Even though it's National League, they might boo Carlos. So that will be interesting for me to watch. And I think they're all going to be great playing. And obviously, I don't know if Freddie Freeman will hold on to the fan vote or Hunter Pence or Yasiel Puig will get in. But I'd like to see, you know, the Dodgers and the young star. I'd like to see Puig play. He hasn't had that many games yet, but to me it's like, who cares? You need your young star. And pitching, you know what, I want to see, I don't know, you know, that's hard. I do like your boy Chapman, Aroldis Chapman, you know. I like the Cincinnati Reds guy. He's got a nice arm. And, of course,
like 100-mile-an-hour fastball?
Yeah, Chapman kind of brings it, man. I like him and definitely even Corbin for the D-backs. But, you know, I want to see Matt Harvey. So let's go to American League. Who's
the junior circuit? All right.
Well, who's the standout pitcher and the standout batter, you think? Well, let's talk about some of the guys that are on the team first. Why don't you go around and just name a couple of the guys.
It's funny because there's some new guys on the starting lineup, right? So Chris Davis is starting at first base.
Yeah.
What
a
year he's having. Hopefully,
what is he up to, 34 homers?
Yeah, this dude is having a year of years.
33,
so Chris Davis
is
killing it at first base. J.J. Hardy, his teammate from the Orioles, is
a new star
starting
at shortstop.
Yeah.
Young star, man.
Yeah, so he's definitely doing his thing. By the way, we'll give you up-to-date stats. So 313. 33 homers and 85 RBI for our boy. Yeah.
That's a great
our
first
boy
half.
Over there in, right, that's a fantastic first half. So.
And he
yeah,
said
so,
Roger
so,
Maris is the home run king. You got to like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you like that. You like that little spunk that he brought.
I'm
right?
old school. I care front. I kind of like that. Even though, you know me, I respect Barry Bonds. Like, one of the best players ever. But I'm not upset with him making that statement. I'll just say that.
So Miguel Cabrera, right, obviously the
yeah.
best player in the game right now is at third. And then the outfield is a very interesting outfield, right? You got essentially two center fielders, although they're moving Trout around this year. But you got Trout, the young stud from last year. You got Adam Jones
Angels,
coming
yeah.
into his own as a bona fide, you know,
for the
also
Orioles,
a five-tool
yeah.
player. And you got Jose Bautista. Now he's healthy. Mm-hmm. He came back from the broken wrist from last year. And then you got Big Poppy, who's like Ponce de Leon and also drinking from mm-hmm. the Fountain of Youth. So
don't forget our boy from second base, Robinson Cano, baby.
Yeah, of course. I didn't talk about
Cano
at second,
yeah.
Mauer at short. You know, these are kind of the – and Miguel Cabrera. You know, these are the guys
yeah.
that you could just pencil in almost every year. Although Dustin Pedroia is having a great year too. So he could really be on Robinson. He and Robinson basically are going to be the all-star in the American League for the next 5 years. But off the bench, though, the American League, in terms of hitters – has some interesting players. So you've got some guys now. You got Nelson Cruz from Texas, who may be on that list of PEDs. His name got leaked out. But you got some other young guys that are really stepping up their game. So you got Manny Machado at third
yeah.
for the Orioles. You got Jason Kipnis at second for the Indians. Alex Gordon, the outfielder for the Royals.
Yep, I like Gordon a lot.
You got some guys. And by the way,
and Ben Zobrist from the Rays. You got to like Ben.
And Ben
Zobrist, Ben.
Ultimate
yeah.
utility player. And
yeah.
then you got to give the old man some respect. Torrey Hunter making it back to an
yeah.
all-star game. How
That's
crazy
really
is that?
Impressive. This is really impressive to me. And I even like, you know, I told you
done.
Off air.
I thought his career was over.
I'm shocked, you know. It's really impressive, and you know he's always going to give you the glove. But the fact that he's had a good season with the stick, it's impressive. But I like this young, and it's weird. We both said right the Astros to say American League because we know they're a National League team. But Jason Castro, I'm so happy that he made it for the Astros, and he's sort of their future. He's a real stud. And you know what, Edwin Encarnacion, I think he's incredible to watch. You know, he was just incredible in the World Series, the baseball World Series this summer.
Yeah, he
and
picked
I thought
up
that
the
was,
slack last year when Bautista got hurt, and he really
yeah.
proved that he's a star in his own right. And that's why I had Toronto winning the division. What did I?
Yeah, well, maybe, well, listen, it's not over yet. Although, let me tell you, right, Cardinals have won like four in a row. The Pirates have been losing, so the Cardinals are back 54-34 with the best record in baseball, and then the Sox with 55 wins and 37 losses, best record in the American League. So, and you know, and also top of the AL East. But our guy, you know who I want to see? I want to see Mariano Rivera. I don't care what sport you like, you have got to tune in for the ninth inning to watch Rivera go up against the National League in the bottom of the ninth. Any person worth, you know, their salt that knows anything about sports would love to watch that.
So let me ask a blasphemous
yeah.
question, because he tore his knee up and then he came back, and, you know, is he really 43 or is he like these Dominican cats? I mean, he might be 50, but Mariano Rivera... Can you really – no, Mariano, we think we know his age. But can you really retire? You know, this guy might in his last year – I guess Trevor Hoffman did something similar. No, he went to Milwaukee and faded a little bit. But can you really retire if you're –
when you're playing so great.
Can Jeter and Teixeira come back to him and whisper in his ear and say, look, Mo, we – Jeter especially –
we need you.
We got
yeah.
one more year in us. Let's try and go for it in 2014.
You know, I could see it, but I also see him wanting to sort of go out on top, and there's no guarantee that next year that will happen. I think that, I mean, obviously he's the greatest reliever ever. You could say he's one of the best players and pitchers ever as well. So, you know, who knows? But that's going to be an interesting subplot, you know, as the offseason comes over and we see how the Yankees, if they can make the postseason and how they finish up this year. You know who else you got to give love to on the Tigers? Our guy, Max Scherzer. I mean, he's putting up Roger Clemens 86 stats. That's incredible.
And I had him on my fantasy team. So I knew about Mad Max, but I didn't really know about Mad Max because I didn't know that he could be this good. So he's 13-0. He's got an ERA of 3, and he's got 146 strikeouts. I mean, this dude is just – he's having a year of years on a team with Justin Verlander and with, you know, Fielder and our boy Miguel Cabrera.
But, yeah, quite as catchy as the start of Tigers.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
so
that,
I
you could easily
Scherzer.
Easily
I want to
say
see
that.
Him. I want to see how he performs under the spotlight here in New York, and you know, to see him pitching against
King Felix
and NL roster.
Felix will pitch,
sure.
You know. You Darwish, you got to see how Darwish does. I mean, it's going to be actually, you know, when you look at the rosters and you look at both, you know, AL and NL. I got to admit, it should be a fun game. You know, we'll have the preview and we'll talk about the Home Run Derby on Monday's show, and you know, talk about some other things. But we'll definitely, you know, get into it and really, you know, have some more fun with it. You know, maybe even talk about some great all-star memories of past and some great all-star, you know, players and games. You know, like, of course, Pete Rose and how he did it. Remember how the National League dominated from, what was it, like mid to late 60s to the 70s? They won, like, what, 13, 14 years in a row?
Right, but then the American League flipped the switch on them and
yeah,
did
no,
that
no,
up
got,
until a few years ago. The American League was
yeah,
dominating.
Yeah, they got back. They definitely did get back. But that National League, man, they had some dudes. They were really, really killing it. So, but what about this, though? The one guy that we didn't mention that, you know, I kind of wonder about in terms of with the AL, your boy Colon, who might be on
Bartolo
the list.
Bartolo
Colon. Yeah.
But do
you
know,
see
the numbers that he's throwing up?
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's
he's
like, come on, he's 40, right?
He's got a 2.69 ERA, and he's 12-3. I mean,
believe he's 40 years old. I mean, or at least 41. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, he's 40. He's 40.
Yeah. So yeah, something's going on. Something's going on. Because Bartolo, he was pretty much done like 5 years ago. So I don't know what to say about that.
He played with the Yankees for a minute, but then he's resurrected his career in Oakland. I don't know what they're doing over there in Jack London Square. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's drinking his wheatgrass and he's, you know, has his ginkgo biloba.
You sure it's not deer antler spray?
I don't know.
But I'll tell you
say
this.
What they do.
No, I'll tell you this, though. Give a shout out to Buck Showalter and the Baltimore Orioles because they are back. I mean, they've got, what, at least four players in this game. I mean, the Orioles have got, you know, from Davis.
They got three starters, yeah.
Yeah, three starters, Jones and Hardy. I mean, that's incredible. So the Orioles are back. They are really, really back, you know.
They could use a starting pitcher. They could use a starting pitcher or two to make a real run.
Well, especially for the stretch run. You wonder if they will make a move. You know, we wonder if they will make a move. I think that they should because they've got a real bona fide shot, I think, at, you know, going for the World Series this year. So
I mean, look,
I would
their
definitely
position
make a
players
trade.
Are fantastic. You know, you got Wieters and you got Machado and you've got Hardy's the all-star now and Machado too. Now,
yeah, and the game, man.
You know, Chris Day, who knew he could play like this, and McLeod they brought over, and Adam Jones, Nick Markakis still has a few years in him. Their eight position players are fantastic. So they have nothing to worry about there. They're missing that number one starter. They got some juice in the bullpen. So that's a tough team. And you know what? They have Buck, and Buck is. Yeah, I hope
he pushes
Buck
the right button
with this team. Because remember, almost a year ago when we started to talk about, you know, at the end of the baseball, you want to be the guy after Buck. So, you know, Ron Washington was the guy after Buck in Texas, and he went to two straight World Series. He lost both of them, but he went to two straight World Series. Mm-hmm. Joe Torre was the guy after Buck, and he won himself, you know, his four championships.
Four out of
game.
Six, yeah.
Yeah.
And Bob Bramley. Yeah.
And Bob Bramley was the guy after Buck in Arizona. So I hope
And he
that
said
Buck
it on
Showalter,
our show. He said it, yeah.
Yeah? I hope Buck Showalter gets to stay and gets to see and get as much out of
this Orioles team
as he can. I hope so.
I think this time he will. So, listen, let's take a little break and let's get into NBA Summer League, free agency, trades. Let's just do it. Ray and Tay.
Okay, we're back, we're back. Now, I need a special shout-out and some fan help here to help Ray help Tay. Because Tay gets caught up in the moment. He watches some Summer League, and he gets excited.
No. But guess what, right? That is why Tay predicted Damian Lillard to be the Rookie of the Year and was 200% correct. Because you can't take lightly what players do and how they play necessarily in Summer League, because sometimes, you know, obviously a lot of teams, they have their draft picks, first and second rounders. There's undrafted free agents. And then you have young veterans that play on your, you know, from your roster, maybe first, second, third, even fourth year guys. And so it's not like it's complete scrubs. And when someone stands out like Lillard did last year, you really can see and sort of project out how they will do in the NBA. A la my boy Olynyk for the Celtics this year, Michael Carter-Williams, Khalif Wyatt from Temple, for those guys for the Sixers, and my main man, the number two pick, Victor Oladipo, playing a little bit of point guard and the two, looking really nice for the Orlando
Magic. But you also have to admit that they are, now I give you all credit is due for Damian Lillard. You called it during the preseason, and then you called it on our preview show, and then you said it all year, and I give you all credit for that. But you also have to admit there's a lot of false positives. You watch these games, and you see these guys, especially guys on offense, because they don't play that much D, and the D isn't, let's just say that it's individual.
Guys are playing hard, though.
They are playing hard. They are playing hard. But my point is that there's, over the years, how many false positives have we come up with? We're like, oh, this guy's nice. And then for some reason, you know, a month or two later, when real preseason ball happens and you start the regular season, these guys are nowhere to be found. So I'm just saying, you know, temper your enthusiasm. Put these guys on your list.
Definitely.
Kelly Olynyk's not going to tear up the NBA like he's tearing up Summer League.
No, but I will say this, right? It's nice to see young guys that might make the team, like, they traded with Indiana and they got the big guy from Colorado, Colton Iverson. So him, Olynyk, and Fab Mello, you know, at least Iverson and Kelly Olynyk, you know, they might get some big minutes or play a lot for the Celtics up front because they don't have too many big guys. All they have is Bass and Sellinger, and they're not, you know, they're more like fours. So, but somebody like a Phil Pressey, you know, they interviewed Brad Stevens today on NBA TV, and it's nice whether Rondo's there or you even need a backup point guard. Somebody like Phil Pressey, who we got much love and respect for his father, Paul Pressey, for those who don't know, NBA legend, one of Ray's favorite all-time players, him and Sidney Moncrief from the Bucks. Phil Pressey is playing some nice point guard and could make the Celtics team. So that's all. I mean, you know, like there's certain guys and they're great stories, and, you know, you root for some of these kids who really work hard. I mean, you look at the Sixers team, right? Khalif Wyatt, who was great in a tournament, didn't get drafted. James Sutherland from Syracuse, you know, who had a nice tournament, didn't get drafted. You want these guys to be able to make the roster, you know what I mean?
No,
and you root for them to play well, you know.
And you know
what
I'm
saying.
it's a positive to see. It's nothing but positive if you do well in summer league. And so, you know, I'm just saying, just slow down with projecting these guys to be all stars. But no, no. So let's talk a little bit about the Sixers, because we talked a little bit about this off air. So what do you think about this? They've got a lot of guys basically competing for minutes now at that 2-3 position, and they need a coach. You know, there was that – we thought that the guy from Brown, Scott Brown, from the San Antonio Spurs was going to take over, and that apparently was a false alarm, although he might still be in the running. Their summer league coach is Michael Curry. What do you think that the Sixers should do?
To be honest with you, I don't mind Curry. He's had some experience. You know, you could go young. But I think what the Sixers need to do is maybe take a page from the Boston Celtics. And, you know, maybe go get you a young college coach. Or I like Tisdale. You know, David Tisdale has, you know, I guess he's with the Heat right now as their number one assistant. And, you know, you want to take guys who've won and you want to go with winners. And Tisdale has a lot of respect in the league. I could see him being a good head coach for the Sixers, you know. Or you could go with Vinny Del Negro, Lionel Hollins. I mean, there's a lot of directions and there's a lot of good coaches. Lionel Hollins would be coming back home because, you know, he won a championship in Philadelphia as a player. So, I don't know. I think they got a lot of opportunities.
By the way, speaking of basketball and speaking of Tisdale, can we just throw a reminisce, you know,
a little bit of Wayman.
About Wayman. Anytime you say Tisdale, Wayman Tisdale.
Yeah.
What a
great jazz musician as well as a player.
Yeah, what an interesting, talented guy who just got dealt a bad hand, you know, ended up passing away. So rest in peace. But you know, talk about going to the archives. If you're in the 80s archives, look up Paul Pressey and look up how he invented, basically, the point forward position.
Definitely. Before Scottie Pippen, before all these other guys, yeah.
And
you're right.
Look at a gentleman by the name of Wayman Tisdale. Ooh. And remember that they couldn't play as freshmen up until the late 70s. So Wayman Tisdale was the first 3-time All-American as a junior. So it was an All-American as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior at the University of Oklahoma. And forget the fact that he's left-handed, because you know Ray has specific affinity for lefties.
Doesn't always come to the lefty thing. I mean, ladies
it really
and gentlemen.
Didn't, because you said Tisdale, and I was like, Wayman
I opened
Tisdale.
Up the Pandora's box.
Right, and so Wayman Tisdale, and then he gets drafted by the Indiana Pacers. So it was actually, the lottery was, that was the first year of the coin flip, right? Where they actually had, or the last year of the coin flip, I guess.
Yeah.
They had instituted
the draft lottery with the balls.
The draft lottery with the was then envelopes, and then was rumors that the Knicks envelope was greased up. So it ended up being that the Knicks and the Pacers were 1 and 2, and so the Pacers ended up getting 2. Wayman Tisdale, who had a decent NBA career, and then our Knicks of course got Patrick Ewing. But yeah, rest in peace, Wayman Tisdale. Go check him out. Check out what he used to do. Check out how he used to be a great NBA player and then turned out to be a heck of a musician. So like Bernie Williams, you know, multi-talented athlete.
Definitely. So let's talk about who's next to drop. I mean, we've gone over as free agency, you know, has been on really and popping since the first. Everything's just official today. So, you know, we know about Chris Paul and Howard and all these different trades and the Nets and this and that. But the next big two players to drop are Andrew Bynum and Monte Ellis. So Bynum has gone on a little tour, and it's between the Cavs, Mavericks, who he's meeting today, and yesterday the Hawks, right? 2-year deal with a team option on the table, $12 million a year with the Cavs. Monte Ellis, who fired his agent today, he's sort of between the Kings. I don't think he'll come back to the Bucks, Kings, Hawks, and Bobcats. Who do you think should sign these guys, and what do you think is the best fit for them as players? For those two
so
guys.
I love this notion of Andrew Bynum going to the Cavs just because they're so talented and they're so young and they could use a man in the middle. And if you get anything out of him, that's fantastic. And if you don't, you sign him for 1 year, $12 million, and then it's the team option for the second year. So it's a very smart, structured contract. You get rid of him, and if you need to, you get rid of other people, and you make a shot to bring LeBron back, the golden child. You bring him home. He went to Miami. He will have, you know, won either two or three championships in Miami, and you make a play for LeBron either with or without Andrew Bynum, depending on if he can play. So to me, the Cavs make the most sense. You know, he's visiting with the Mavs today, too. That's another team that it makes sense for them to go after him because Dirk really is running by himself. So Dirk, I feel
him
like,
and Carter.
You know, yeah, and, you know, Vince Carter's, you know, way at the downside of his career. I think Dirk, because of his size and his skill level. Yeah, and all of these guys that rely on athletic ability, you know, to really give them an advantage. See, Dirk relies on shooting and his savviness, but Marion and Vince Carter rely on athletic ability and jumping being more
athletic. I'm just saying they're veterans that are still there and on the downside. But to me, if I'm buying them, I don't touch Atlanta or Dallas. I got to go to Cleveland, not just because of the potential of maybe LeBron going there, but look at the talent of their roster.
Kyrie Irving.
We talked about this off-air. Yeah, with Kyrie, Bennett, and Thompson, and Waiters, and you know some of these guys, and bringing in Jarrett Jack. I like what the Cavs are doing, and if they get Bynum and he can play this year, the Cavs are going to the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen, in the Eastern Conference. I'll tell you that right now. That would be a guarantee. You know.
Let me ask you about the 11th leading scorer in the NBA, and a guy that basically has been playing on bad teams, Monte Ellis, who now opted out of a decent amount, thought he'd get some good sniffs, but it seems like the money's drying up. So, so what do you do if you're Monte Ellis? Where do you go, and how long a contract are you looking to sign?
You know what's weird? Maybe if you're him, you only do a one-year deal and try to re-enter, even though 2014 has got, you know, obviously some legendary players, but maybe, you know, because so many teams are gearing up, there might be, you know, a lot of cap room with certain teams, and you just try to re-enter in 14 or 15, do a 1 or 2 year deal and see what you could do. If I'm Monte Ellis, though, I go to the Kings. I think the Sacramento Kings have made some moves. You know, they got rid of Tariq Evans, but, you know, they're bringing in some guys. I like what they're doing. And, you know, maybe that's the place for you. I don't know. I know you think possibly not because of Ben McLemore being there and Grievous Vasquez. But, I mean, do you want to go to Atlanta? I mean, I don't know. I don't, you know, I mean, Ellis and Millsap? Or you go to the Bobcats, at least with the Bobcats, you and Jefferson, and then you got Kid Gilchrist and Walker. You know, I don't know. Maybe he goes to the Bobcats. I think for the Bobcats, that's great, right? Because now you're sort of got some guys that want to play defense, but then you got two guys that can score in Ellis and Jefferson. So the Bobcats become a team that can actually win some games now.
Right, and then you could put Henderson and Kid Gilchrist and all these guys in their rightful place, which is, you know.
Well, Henderson, he's restricted. They would let him go if they bring in Ellis. That's
okay, good point. But it's a huge upgrade, right? It's a huge upgrade because that team didn't really have identity and didn't really have any offense. It looks like they might lose Byron Mullins, who we both like. So we'll see. We'll see what that. Yeah, maybe you go to Charlotte. What I would think, though, is that if you're Monte Ellis, you might sign a one-year contract. Unfortunately, it will have to be with a bad team. So, like you said, Sacramento, Atlanta, you know, Charlotte. But you got to go to a team that will show off your skills. So you want to go to an up-tempo team. You want to go to a team that will let you freelance a little bit on defense and get you your shots on offense. Because you want to enter the free agency market as the number one two-guard coming on the market and certainly a starter in the NBA or a six-man on a championship team. I mean, that's how you want to play it because you're looking at Andre Iguodala getting his $12 million a year and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I need to get that money at least. So I think
if he's lucky.
Yeah.
But you're right. He should do a one-year deal. Yeah, right. So let's just give the fans. So the NBA set the salary cap at $58.679 million, right? And then the luxury tax begins at $71.748 million. So there's some teams, you know, like the Nets and, you know, the Knicks and the Heat that, you know, they're, you know, Lakers way over the cap. But the Nets, what I love about them is, like, they're like, so? You know? I mean, Bergeron, he's just like, I don't care, you know? And Billy King is, you know, got the opportunity to spend and spend. So, you know, listen, the cap, it definitely makes the league better, you know, compared to, like, a baseball, you know? And I think, you know, you can see where teams can improve. You know, we talked about the Kings, the Hornets, I think Portland, the Timberwolves. There's a lot of teams that are, you know, the Rockets that are making some moves, especially in the West, that, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see what teams don't make the playoffs, a la, you know, let's go there, the Lakers, right? We spoke about this off air. Do you think with the Lakers bringing in Jordan Farmar, Chris Kaman, they might, you know, amnesty, meta world peace, bring back Lamar Odom. What's going to happen with the Lakers, you know, since they've lost Dwight Howard, especially just next season without Kobe? What do you think? They probably might not make the playoffs.
I think they and the Celtics are both hanging out, trying not to look like they're tanking the season, but both are going to tank their seasons. That's until Kobe gets back, or maybe Rondo,
right,
too. But
yeah. So those guys don't tank.
Teams, yeah, both of these teams are in huge, huge need of an upgrade in talent and an established, you know, star or two joining the team coming out of college. But let's think to this 2014 draft. Now, it's way too early to get too excited, but you're talking about a draft with Andrew Wiggins, the kid out of Canada who they're saying is the next LeBron James. Doesn't quite have the body, but has the skill set and is explosive and can shoot and can take it to the hole. So he's
to the Baja.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. And then you're talking about some size.
Jabari Parker.
You know, you're talking about Jabari Parker, who's another small, you know, he's a small forward shooting guard out of Duke. You're talking about Gordon and Randall, two power forwards. One is at Kentucky, Randall and Gordon at Arizona. You're talking about, what's the kid's name? Marcus Smart, the point guard from
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State probably would have been a top two or three pick. You know, if he was around, I wouldn't be surprised if Orlando took him at number two instead of Oladipo.
And you got the Harrison twins of Kentucky. There's a lot of talent. Yeah, it's going to be a great
Perry
draft. Everyone's hyped. Yeah.
Harrison, yep. You got this Mitch McGarry, maybe if he develops the kid who had the great tournament for Michigan, Glenn Robinson. You've got some pretty, you know.
Don't forget about it, McAdoo from North Carolina.
Interesting prospects.
You know?
Well, if he ever gets his act together.
Well, I think he started to play better. Oh wait, real nice little segue. Hey, speaking of the Tar Heels. Our boy, Psycho T, Tyler Hansborough, signed a 2-year deal with the Toronto Raptors. So they lose Bagnarni, and then they wind up bringing in, Tyler Hansborough. So, I mean, look, little moves like this, right? Look at the Warriors, right? They're bringing in, you know, they lose Jack, they lose Carl Landry, who, you know, went to the Kings, and I like what the Kings are doing. But they bring in Tony Douglas, Jermaine O'Neal, Andre Iguodala. I like what the Warriors are doing, man.
They just extended Mark Jackson for another year. So they picked up the 14-15 option. So they know Mark Jackson's good for this year and for next year.
Yeah. I think the Warriors and Clippers are two teams that can really challenge OKC and the Spurs. And we spoke about this off air, and, you know, I was joking with you in terms of just even Orlando Summer League, but back-to-back, yesterday, Reggie Jackson scores 35, and today, Jeremy Lamb gets 32, and that's the highest, 35 points is the highest in Summer League, Orlando Summer League history. But they're going to play important roles coming off the bench, backing up, and, you know, maybe Jackson will have to start. We'll see how Westbrook's health is, but backing up Thabo and Russell, you know, going to bring back the veteran Fisher, but, you know, Jeremy Lamb makes the Harden deal, you know, more palatable if him and then Steven Adams could develop. But, you know, you need Lamb to be a legit two-guard in the NBA. That's going to be real interesting.
I love him at UConn, and I think he can play. And I hope for his sake and for all those Thunder fans out there, pull out your Thunder sticks because Jeremy Lamb can play. So maybe we're a year away from seeing the true Jeremy Lamb, but I wouldn't be surprised if he burst on the scene kind of like a Kawhi Leonard did. He's not as versatile as Kawhi. He's more of an offensive player, but he can play. And he's what they need, right? Because they have enough defense with Thabo, and if they can get another year out of Kendrick Perkins and Serge Ibaka, but they need guys that can create their own shots. So they had Kevin Martin, and he was okay off the bench, but you need a guy who can get his own shot and give Harden. He'll never be double-teamed, right? So you always get one-on-one coverage. But you look at me, football turns, right? One-on-one coverage down the field. But, you know,
July 24th, always, baby, training camp is coming. NFL is coming.
The defense can't really concentrate on you when you have Westbrook and or Durant on the court. So I look for a lot from Jeremy Lamb. Let me ask you one more thing about the West, staying in the West, though, the Clippers. Yeah. Did you hear this little, I don't know if it's a controversy, but it was a mini thing with
Blake
Griffin. And Chauncey Billups calling him a little soft. I don't know if he was trying to get under his skin or if he was just being honest.
Well, put it like this. Definitely not worried about motivating him because he's no longer with the Clippers. So, you know, maybe it's really just his opinion. Chauncey is sort of a tough dude and plays tough ball. The way Blake plays, though, it doesn't fit. There's nothing soft about Blake Griffin. I mean, yeah, maybe he's not the defensive player that he needs to be, and I think he even admitted to that and said he's looking forward to having Doc Rivers as a coach because he needs to improve in his defense. But Blake will dunk it on your head from anywhere. So to me, Blake is far from soft. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's almost comical to me because it's like, wait a minute, Chauncey. Blake is ridiculous. So soft, nah.
I don't know if soft
compared to Z-Bo. I mean, maybe Z-Bo is like, you know, lunch pail more, but Blake's not soft. I can't go there. So
I don't know, but apparently the guys around the league think he's a little soft. I mean, of course they know he's a physical specimen and he's a great athlete and he can jump through the gym and he can dunk on you. But when push comes to shove, maybe it's a little bit of mental toughness and it's a little bit of physical toughness. Like he won't push back. Like you can get in his, you know, get in his face, push him around a little bit, and he's a nice guy. He won't give it. Like Kobe will stomp on you and kick you and you know, Patrick Ewing will knee you and you know what I mean. These guys are all like
he's not an assassin. He's not Kobe. He's not Michael. But few are. But when you talk about the Clippers, though, I think bringing back Barnes. The trade with Dudley and J.J. Redick and bringing back CP3 and then Doc Rivers is the coach, I think the Clippers are making some tough moves. I like the Clippers, the Warriors, and Rockets in the West in terms of how they're improving and what they're doing. But switch to the East a little bit. You know, obviously we talked a lot about the Nets. But some of these rumors, let me just ask you, if you're the Knicks, you know, you bring in Bunyarnie, you know, re-signed Pablo and J.R., do you try to break up the team a little bit and move Felton and whatever else you can to try to make sure you really have a chance for a chip in the East now with, you know, the Knicks maybe being the fifth best team and try to trade for Rondo?
Well, I think you have to do something for two reasons. Number one, you could argue that you got Bargnani, so you upgraded a little bit, and then you got Amari back. But we know that Amari, Chandler, and Carmelo as a front court doesn't work. So something isn't right. You know, a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. They're not something's not right. So I don't know. Mike Wooden's not been able to use his pixie dust and make it all happen. So you need to get better because you could argue you're the fifth best team in the East. Even though you have the second best record, Indiana went farther than you in the playoffs. The Bulls get Derrick Rose back. The Nets just got two Hall of Famers with a championship ring, and the Heat are the Heat. So you might be the fifth best team in the East. So from being the second best team in the East, you might now be the fifth best team in the East, meaning you are
the Pacers are going to be tough.
You're playing the
Granger
fourth best team on the road in the playoffs. Oh, and by the way, Carmelo can opt out next year, and he can go play in L.A. So you got to really worry if you're the Knicks about not only winning for real, but also keeping Carmelo happy. Because if you don't, you could be back where you were 3-4 years ago. You
yeah,
know?
That
so,
would
on,
be
I think we got,
devastating. All right.
We got a caller here.
All right.
Hey, caller.
How you doing? Who
You're
is this?
On the air with
where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. It's Mike in Pennsylvania. How's it going?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, Mike.
Well, I'm tuning in here, and I heard you talking about Carmelo Anthony, and you're exactly right. He can opt out next year, and I think he is because the Knicks are in purgatory right now. They haven't done anything in the offseason to go over the Bulls, the Heat, the Pacers, now Brooklyn. They're like the Atlanta Hawks the last 10 years, good enough just to get in the playoffs, but not good enough to make a run for the title. And I fully expect Carmelo Anthony, he has, what, maybe 3-4 years left in his prime. He's going to bolt off. They're talking maybe L.A. or whatever. But I think the Knicks are in desperate circumstances here. I thought the J.R. Smith signing, even though it was reasonable, was terrible. I mean, I can't see anybody watching that Indiana series, J.R. Smith on the court, wanting him back, and especially – off of the court, you know, going out clubbing late at night, the night before a big game. That's just who J.R. Smith is in a nutshell. It'll never change, but you're exactly right. The Knicks are in bad shape.
Well, you got to be fair. J.R. was sixth man of the year, and he did change
Doesn't
a lot
matter.
With
matter.
Woody.
I saw him do it all year against bad teams. Yes, he had those games where he would just go off, but you can't count on that in a playoff series against a good defensive team. They're going to stop it every single time. All that running and gunning with him and Carmelo, they do nothing to make the rest of their team better.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Who should they have signed? If you don't bring back JR, who are the Knicks going to sign that helps them offensively score?
Well, I tell you what, and Knicks fans probably won't want to hear it. You got it. I would have went to kind of what the Celtics and the Sixers are doing. I would have kept my two main assets. I would have kept Carmelo Anthony, and I would have kept Shumpert. Those are the only two guys that I can see really leading the Knicks in the future. I just think the Bargnani, the J.R. Smith is just window dressing to try to keep Carmelo Anthony around. But to answer your question, as long as they got that Stoudemire albatross of a contract, I don't think they could do anything to answer your question.
Okay,
but
and then with L.A.
point.
No, it is a good point, but I told this to Ray off air. Why? I mean, unless you tell me that LeBron James is coming to L.A. too, there's no incentive except for to maybe please his wife, Lala, to go play with Kobe, who might have one more year left, you know, playing 14 and then 15. To me, Kobe and Nash will be the only guys on the contract. They still have some salary issues. Carmelo going to L.A., I don't know. For some reason, I don't see it. I think the
I
Knicks
agree.
Could try to trade
anyway,
for Rondo.
The Lakers are in the same situation as the Knicks. You know, it's desperate times. You know, like you said, Kobe, who knows what he's going to come back off of. I actually liked the Kamen signing. I thought it was a stopgap, and it was only one year. So it's not like they're overcommitting. Kamen is, everybody knows he is what he is. He can play offense a little bit. Defensively, his foot speed's terrible. So it's kind of just a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think the Lakers have a situation where they can use the amnesty on Meta if they want to, a.k.a. or formerly known as Ron Artest. I think they have a situation where in 2014-15, the only person under contract would be Steve Nash. So they've got a whole roster that they can rebuild. And the one thing about L.A. is they've always been able to track free agents, and they've almost always – maybe with the exception of Dwight Howard, been able to land and keep their free agents. So in that respect, Carmelo to L.A., in theory, makes a little bit of sense because of the flexibility they'll have next year. Now, obviously, Kobe's got to decide what he wants to do, and I think they have to give him the option to play the rest of his career in L.A. They might have to ask him to take less money and say, look, you know, we need to bring in a Carmelo and maybe try to get a Carmelo and somebody else, like a, I don't know if they can get a James too, but a LeBron James. But
maybe they bring Carlos Boozer. He might leave Chicago. That's a thought.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago might amnesty him. But, yeah, there are definitely some issues with, you know, with the Knicks roster, and the Knicks really have to be worried because Carmelo is, and Mike, that's a great point, is that he's got three or four more, you know, superstar years left, and then that's it. And then you're a role player, you know, scoring 15 a game, but you're not, the team's not building around you.
That's where he's going to win his ring. He's going to win his ring, just like you said, for 4 or 5 years when the money goes down a little bit and he's a complimentary player, a third wheel on a team, that's when Carmelo Anthony has the best chance to get his ring. My final comment, guys, I know you're running on time here. I thought the best offseason I've seen so far is by the 76ers. They're doing this the perfect way. You get Noel, a number one pick. You get your point guard from Syracuse. And next year, you set yourself up to completely tank, and you put yourself right in position to get a top three pick and probably somewhere around 10 to 15 with the Pelicans pick. So I love it. You add in Royce White from Houston, who I like. He's not going to have to fly, guys, to all these East Coast cities. A lot of them are within a couple hundred miles of each other.
You're right.
I like what they're doing, and they're going to have a lot of money to spare, you know, when you get some of these contracts up like Evan Turner and stuff. So I think the Sixers did it right. You either break it down completely or you're right there having a chance to win. A lot of these teams, I see like Josh Smith and what Atlanta's doing, they're just middle-of-the-pack teams. They're not really doing anything, in my opinion. But, hey, guys, you have a good one.
Mike, let me ask you real quick. Who should the Sixers hire as their coach? I just want to get your opinion. What do you think?
Is Lionel Hollins still out there?
Yes, he is, yeah.
He's an ex-Sixer, right?
Yep. I mentioned that earlier on the show, yeah.
His name hasn't come up. I think Lionel Hollins probably wants to be on a team that's closer to a championship because he probably tasted it a little bit. But that's a great hire. I think the Sixers would love it. I don't know if Lionel Hollins would go to a team that's a couple years away from the playoffs. But yeah, that's a great one.
There are no other teams out there right now with coaching vacancies
that are that close
to winning a championship. And I think it could be a quick rebuild if they hit gold next year and come up with, you know, an Andrew Wiggins type. And you already got Noel, you got your young point guard, you know, things are setting up good. So you know, it might take 3 years, but it could hit big when it hits with all
the
guys.
And my guy too, Mike, Khalif Wyatt from Temple, watch him. He's going to tear it up. I'm telling you now.
Stop looking at Summer League. I'm going to cut your TV off and tell you no more Summer
League. Whatever. Thanks for calling, Mike. Thanks.
All right, Mike, appreciate it. Great comment.
Yeah. Well, listen, that was a great way to end the show. Great call from Mike. You know, we know that he's a good NFL fan and a Cowboy guy, and I think he said he's a Celtic guy, but he's right.
Yeah.
I think the Sixers are doing it right. So, great show. We will be back Monday. Talk a little bit more basketball, talk about the Home Run Derby and the MLB All-Star Game, and should be fun, Ray. We'll have to watch, you know, on Twitter. We'll let everybody know, and we'll get to the emails next show about Bynum and Monte Ellis and all that good stuff, man.
Yeah, we had a great show. Thanks for joining us. Let's hope for a good All-Star weekend, and we'll be back. We'll talk. We'll preview the Derby. We'll talk about what happened in basketball, what happened over the weekend.
Hope Cabrera can play with his back. We'll see what happens if he could do
the
Home Run Derby.
Yeah,
he's
Home Run Derby, though. He's out of the Home Run Derby, so they replaced him.
Oh, definitely. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, that puts a lot of stress
on his
back.
It's strenuous.
Yeah,
it's strenuous.
He's trying to win his second Triple Crown, so.
Yeah, can't mess around. All right, well, listen, Ray and Tay, thanks for listening to us and talking sports with friends. We are out.
We're out. See you on Monday.
Peace.